Data show back-to-back quarters of falling GDP in the US economy, which meets the textbook definition of a recession. But in the United States, the National Bureau of Economic Research, eight economists from elite universities have held back from making the call. It's prompted a flurry of debate over whether the fundamentals of national economies have changed, whether central banks are measuring the right things, whether monetary policy is less important now than fiscal policy, leading to questions about what a recession really is. It's even triggered Wikipedia to suspend edits on the recession page. On the other side, there's a fear that inflation could become entrenched. Nikki Hudley is a macroeconomist and a former senior partner at Deloitte Access Economics. Welcome to RN Breakfast, Nikki.
Thank you, Norman.
Now, you'd have to admit there are conflicting data at the moment from the US and Europe. Unemployment down, for example, and Europe's economy grew last quarter.
Well, that's right. But I mean, in the US, we've seen two back-to-back quarters of negative growth or contraction, and that by any economist's definition is a recession. And look, you can be all semantic about this and say, well, unemployment's low or there's some other things in the economy that are not so bad. But, you know, the economy shrank two quarters in a row. Lots of things are weak. The momentum is down. Interest rates are rising. You know, that means we're in for a tough, if not necessarily a rough ride in the months ahead as, you know, the Fed continues to fight inflation.
So is it just politics that Joe Biden and Fed Chair Janet Yellen and the Bureau all say there's no recession after two quarters?
Well, the difference is, and this time really is different, there are a whole load of different factors and it makes it hard for economists and for the policymakers, more importantly, is unemployment is incredibly low. And normally the sign of a recession is rising and high unemployment rates. And of course, we don't have that after the great stimulus of the, you know, the COVID era. But we do have other things that are slowing. And I do think it is, you know, Biden wanting to put a bit of a gloss over it, but also perhaps that they think that they, you know, there's not that much more in the interest rate rises to go, that they will get the inflation genie back in the bottle, and that this downturn will be relatively short-lived, that they'll return to some more normal growth levels, even if these are slow, in the coming quarters. And that's entirely possible, but there's a lot of risks behind that.
What are those risks?
Well, the global economy, for a start, we've got Europe already very slow, parts of it close to flatlining as they start to raise rates there. Of course, and really importantly, China, you know, the second largest economy in the world, a big trading partner of the US, is also in dire straits, and the central bank, the government, are yet to move. Normally by now we would have seen some sort of stimulus program from them. We're waiting for that for the moment as to how they approach their slowing economy. We've got obviously the inflation will have a dampener on consumer demand. And of course, those really big rises in interest rates, it's unclear how they'll affect certainty, confidence, and therefore investment and consumer demand. So there's a lot of unknowns playing out here.
I mean, we tend to focus on monetary policy here. You know, the Fed has taken a lot of the quantitative easing off their balance sheet. They're trying to remove money from the market. And yet fiscal policy has a role to play here, perhaps in a softer landing. How do you balance government spending and where it spends it with this crude monetary policy really exerted by central banks?
Yeah, that is absolutely crucial. And it will be a really important factor in Australia where we've got the Treasurer calling, you know, out the dire circumstances we face, the need to rein in government spending and, you know, start attacking that those large levels of debt that have built up in the last couple of years. But if you pull the brakes too hard with all your levers all at the same time, you do risk, you know, the economy is a bit like the Titanic. It takes a lot to move it. It doesn't move quickly. It's not a little motorboat. And so when you make a monetary decision, you often don't see the impacts for, you know, 12, 18 months even. You'll see some things as we are now with consumers pulling back spending a little bit. But if you've got the treasurers or the US government where you've got a lot of the stimulus from the COVID period being pulled back from the economy, you want to be very careful about how you manage that. The good thing is that you can do some temporary, you know, stimulus if you need to. And I think particularly for the lowest, you know, income households where things will be very tough, particularly with basics. You know, the rate of inflation for our non-discretionary items, the essential things like food and housing, petrol, transport, that's well above, much higher, over 7%. So we've got to be careful, you know, of the fairness aspect here as well as the overall impact.
But is the bottom line for the Reserve Bank and other central banks that they've actually got to cause a recession in order to control inflation? It's as crude as that, and they're not admitting it?
Well, certainly in the past, that's what they've done. And that's been in response to inflation that's been driven by a wage price spiral where, you know, prices go up, so wages go up. We're not seeing that wages, certainly not in Australia. The majority of awards and other agreements that have gone through have been 3 to 3.5%, some even lower, particularly in the public sector. You know, the minimum wage rise only went to around 1%, just over 1% of the workforce. So, you know, it's not right across the board, even though we are seeing some anecdotal evidence of stronger wages. If you think about the things that are causing inflation, supply chain disruptions because of illness, you know, obviously what's happening in Europe and Putin in Ukraine and energy prices, raising interest rates in Australia isn't going to solve those problems. So we do need to tread carefully as to what, you know, which is the fire we're trying to put out and, you know, what's the instrument we're using to do it.
So is the central bank the instrument? I mean, we're just trying to do something that with a sledgehammer that's not, if you like, vulnerable to it.
Well, that's the big risk. I mean, look, they're normalising rates at the moment, and obviously they don't want to put the economy into recession, and I don't think they see that as necessary. You know, a lot of these inflationary forces at the moment are temporary. They just want to make sure that it doesn't get embedded into the wage cycle at the moment. So I don't think, you know, they're certainly not going to try and use the sledgehammer, but I think, you know, if we see a 50 basis point increase tomorrow, which is what we're expecting the RBA to do, then we need to be, you know, where they go from there, I think, you know, needs to perhaps be a bit more thoughtful and moderate, and maybe they will pause. But the governor has said 2.5% is where the cash rate is neutral. And they think the economy is a lot stronger than perhaps I do. and they perhaps see the risks in the future as a little bit less. They've got a lot more economists working for them than I do, so maybe they know a bit more. But I'm just pointing out the risks, and I think a lot of us are now starting to understand that. The European
Nikki,
Central Bank has,
Nikki, we,
is
we
doing
have to
the
go.
Same.
Sorry, thanks, Nikki Huntley, for joining us.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations, live and on demand, on the ABC Listen app.